And wasn't that good this morning? Who was not here this morning? Oh, you missed a good one. It was really, but that, you know, circumstances, I guess. But praise God, man. I was so proud of all the kids, what they were doing, and the parts, and the preaching, and the singing, and all the things that went on. And again, just to all the people behind the scenes, the teachers and the adults, the young adults, putting all of this stuff together. We have a couple of new preachers in the house. The youngest of which is Zoe. And then Leah, man, I tell you what, he's coming up, isn't he? Really proud of that fellow. Praise God. Aren't you glad, you know, that God knows the beginning and he knows the end? And we have to incorporate, you know, he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. He is that way with all things. And we just can't put that in, like, the ethereal, the heavenlies, and all the things that he created, and just leave it there. We have to incorporate that, and that's not my message tonight, but we have to incorporate that into ourselves, our own being, our own makeup, and our own plan that God's designed for our life. Everywhere we go, everything we do, God says it has the beginning, and he's there. And from point A to point B until it's finished, he's there in between. And then he sees you at the end, just what he told you at the beginning. Am I the only cuckoo here? Isn't that good news? You know, he told the fellas in the boat, he told his disciples to get into the boat, and he told them to go to the other side. And they're questioning, okay, what is going on? What do just get in? I'm doing real good. God has already seen this, and he's planned the end. I just have to get there. Hello. How are we going there, else? Is that on? Okay. You can hear me, right? And it's just so good to know that, here we go, that, you know, God told his disciples to get into the boat. They're questioning, Lord, what, you know, okay, get into the boat for what? He says, I want you to go to the other side. Well, Alpha was there at the beginning. When he said to get in the boat, he had his plan already. They couldn't see it all. And as soon as they got in the boat, the wind started. But they made it to the other side. And don't you think that when they got to the other side, they sort of had to look back in memory a little bit and think, Jesus told us to get in the boat to come to the other side. We went through hell and high water. Now we're on the other side, just like he commanded us to do. And there was something great that they had to experience. You go from glory to glory to glory when the Holy Spirit asks you to do something. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, he's with you wherever you are, whatever he's asked you to do. You may not know all the little things that are, all the little details. And aren't we a people, especially with the high tech and the information feed that we get all the time, we have to know the details, don't we? Am I the only cook? No, I don't need to know all the details. You don't know all the details, and you don't need to know all the details. There's one thing you do need to know is if God asks you to do something, do it. Don't put it off. And there's a lot of people today that God is telling them to do something, and they are putting it off. But they're not really reaping what God said until they do ask, do what God asked them to do. They're not going to reap the benefits of what God has asked them to do when they get to the other side. And you know something? God, if God is asking you to do something, it's not my message. I'm going to get to it in a second here. I'm just preaching myself. I'm just getting the engines going. When God asks you to do something, I've found in my own life, it's better to have zeal and plenty of it to do the will of God And then ask God for wisdom. Don't leave without wisdom either, or ask God as you're going along for wisdom. But man, I tell you what, the zeal of the Lord should be consuming us to do things for God. So that when he says us for us to do something, we're already there. Just like Paul, immediately he left when he had that vision. Immediately these people, these disciples, these people even in the Old Testament, those that followed God, when God spoke to them, they were off. They were off. Now, my message tonight, let me get my glasses on. If you have your Bibles, if you want to look on the screen, got a few scriptures we're going to look at tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week I was preaching on letting the love of God lead us. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to look at two verses to start off. The first one is verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 13. And it says this, love never fails. We've heard it over and over again, but let it sink in your heart. Let it become fresh in your mind and in your spirit tonight. Love, this is the God love, agape love. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Then it goes down to verse 13. It says, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The God love. The agape love, or agape, however you want to say it. When we first got here, it was agape. Now it's agape, how we used to say it in the States. Who cares? God's love. Amen. You know, I just want to put this a question to you. How do you see things? Did you ever stop and ask yourself the question, you know, you may have a family. How do you see your family? You may have children. You may have a business. You may be a teacher. You may be a student. Whatever aspect in life you are going and facing right now, how do you view things? How do you see things? Why don't we take a little bit of a walk and stroll? In fact, let's chase the rabbit back to Genesis 3:7. Come with me. Let's go for Alice in Wonderland. A little bit of a stroll here back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. It says this. This is an eye-opener, and it should be. Chapter 3 in verse, I think it is verse 7, it says this. Then the eyes of, you know, Adam and Eve, they were told by God not to do a particular thing. And they were tempted, and they failed miserably. And it said in verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened. We said, I thought, you know, they began to see something. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. People can look at this and say, well, they received a revelation. Actually, what happened is that their eyes became infected. That's another way, an opposite or negative way to look at it. You see, because before this, they did not know that they were naked. And so when sin came in and death with it, the beginnings of an immediate result began with their sight. They lost their vision. They did not see the glory of God. They saw themselves naked. That's the natural realm that we look at things if you're not born again. And that's the struggle in the warfare that we have in the natural fighting against the spiritual that we face every day as our minds are being transformed by the Word of God to direct our thoughts accordingly, to make our eyesight, not natural sight. We have to get back to the spiritual sight. But you can never have spiritual sight if you're born into this world, you're not going to ever have supernatural vision to see things the way God wants you to see them, because that's been broken. That's been infected by sin. But with that infection, God brought the remedy. And let's take a look at another verse of scripture, John chapter 3, going over in the New Testament. And Jesus spoke these words, and thank God he did. John chapter 3 and verse 3, he was talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he said, you have to be born again, born of the Spirit. That's the remedy for infected sight. That's the remedy. If we're born again, our eyes, there's light that comes in, and our eyes are healed. Our spiritual eyes are healed of that infection of sin. What are the things that cause us to not see the things of God? Even if we're just looking in the natural, they're all distractions. Distractions are the things that take your vision away from what God has planned for you to do. You can see it in Jesus' life. Remember, he was talking to his disciples, and you know, I've said this over and over again in the past times. Jesus would be looking and sort of like there, and his disciples are asking him a question, and the question that they ask him, Jesus never seems to give them the answer that they asked the question for. They never get the answer. They get something different. Why? It's because he was seen in the Spirit. He was seeing things that God had planned for that day. Jesus said of himself, he says, I don't do the things that I do unless I what? See my Father do them and hear what he says. So basically our five senses are all warped to begin with, but those things are restored so that we can get back into the supernatural realm and be used mightily of God to see what God does. You know, there's one thing to hear, isn't it? That hearing is a fantastic sense that God has placed and given us as part of our makeup, made in his image. But you know, without eyesight, you can hear all you want. In fact, who can I get here? Bruce, come up here. Do you mind? Or do you want me to get someone else? Okay. I've done this before. Oh, yeah. And I want you to close your eyes, and I don't want you to cheat. I don't want you to cheat, man, all right? Because God's going to... Okay, close your eyes and keep them closed tight. Now turn around three times. Okay, all right. Now you open your eyes. I'm going to get a kid up here in a minute. Turn around. Keep on going. Okay, stop. No, just a little bit toward me. Don't look. Okay. Now I want you to go and walk around the peripheral of this room. Good Lord. Now you go to your left a little bit, man. Turn to your left. Keep turning. Turn to your left. Turn a little. Okay, go. Can you hear? In fact, why don't you follow me?
Follow me. Can you hear me? Okay, come over here. I'm over here. Don't open your eyes. I'll hit you. Can you hear me? Okay, come on. Just follow where my voice is. Okay. Okay, now, no, don't do that. Now, don't do that. No, I want you to open your eyes now. You're far off.
Why did you giggle? I would have heard you and you were
now, I want you to plug your ears with your fingers. And open your eyes and walk around the room. There's a big difference, isn't there? Okay, that's good.
See, it's one thing to hear, but it's a fantastic sense in the spirit realm. Thank you. That's good. But it's another thing when you're able to see, you know where you are going. And if I was doing something, I says, Bruce, I if he could only hear, and I was trying to teach him carpentry, and I'm telling him, hit the nail on the head. With no sight, you got to be joking. I know I built my house and how many times I hit my thumb, man. Or my fingers when I was building the house or building something else. Can you imagine being blind and not knowing where you're going? That's just what people are like in this world. But, you know, it's the same thing with the love of God. We see things, if we're looking in the natural, our response to those things is as negative as a person who is closing their eyes and even blocking their ears and trying to get somewhere that they've been told to go. You can't do it. It's impossible. There's a lot of tragedy that will come. But when you're born again of the Spirit, Jesus said, Nicodemus, you have to be born again. That's when all the infection of sin were healed. By his stripes, we are healed. That's when the healing takes place of our spiritual sight, and we begin to hear things, we begin to see things in the supernatural from the Word of God, and also the revelation when God begins to speak to our hearts. We begin to hear and see things, and so our reactions to things are not like the world. How many here, you don't have to raise your hands, have been in the presence of a miserable boss? How many here have been a miserable boss? How many here have been, you've had a friend who has betrayed you? Not easy. How many here have been through a circumstance that's been so negative and it involved people that hurt you? God says, now abide these three things, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these things is love. God is love. That's why love is the greatest thing. Someone once said that there's a way to translate love never fails, love never falls. That's one way it's almost like a literal translation. Love never falls. Love never gets to a point going through something where it collapses or it's destroyed. But yet on the other hand, in the natural, God didn't ask us to, when he says love never fails, he didn't say apply your emotional love. You know that warm, fuzzy feeling? There's nobody who's ever been in love here. Anyone in love here? Anyone who needs to be in love here? The natural love is fickle because it has to do with emotions. It is, you're up one day, and dear, I was talking to Sarah before this service, the emotions are so fickle, you're up on a mountaintop and nobody can pluck you down. You're insensitive to the feelings of others because you're just enjoying life when there's others that are suffering. And then all of a sudden, there's a day that comes after that it's like you're on a slippery pole and down you go. Your emotions go down with you. And people use that kind of natural love, which is fickle, it's emotional. There's nothing wrong with that part of having emotions because that's part of our makeup that God made us to have. You know, when guy sees girl and girl sees guy or that warm, fuzzy. She's laughing. Anyway, she's laughing. You know, that warm, Austin, Amy, that warm, fuzzy feeling. Ben and Aubrey, that warm, fuzzy feeling. That warm, fuzzy, you know. It's not to put people on the spot. God said, he didn't say, apply your warm, fuzzy feeling to your boss. Apply your warm, fuzzy feeling to your wife or your husband. Doesn't that blow you away? Because you can't. You're up and down one day. She may be up and down one day. And there's a collision. You're going to find out if you haven't done it already, Michael. Yes, have the warm, fuzzy feeling. But don't love your wife with that warm, fuzzy feeling. Love your wife. In fact, God gave us a command. Let's take a look at the command that God gave us. John chapter 15. Is this making sense? No answers. Okay. John chapter 15 and verse 15. It says, wait a minute. Is that the right one? Pray for me. Hold on. I think I have, here it is, yeah. I'm sorry, John chapter 13 Sarah, if I could have that. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Or Zoe. Or is that Charlie? Peter? Who's back there? I saw this little face, man. It says that Jesus said this. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. He didn't say a warm, fuzzy feeling for one another, because those kinds of things, people change every day. Our emotional state changes every day with circumstances. But you'll find that people who are beginning to mature and hold on to the Word of God, their eyesight becomes more attuned to the things in the spiritual realm. They begin to walk after how God is asking them to walk, because they're seeing something. When something comes along their way, the world in that same circumstance will act one way, and it will be, you smack my face, I smack your face. You push me, I'm going to push you. That's the natural realm. It's retaliation. It's not that we become doormats for other people's abuse, other people's slander, other people's the terrible things that they would like to do to us, and they do to us sometimes. But it's reacting to those things that they do to us in the way that Jesus reacted to those things. Can I ask you this question? In fact, just let me put it this way, rhetorically. That's not even rhetorical. Isn't it good to know? Let me ask you this. How do you think, what would it have been like if God and Jesus and their plan for our restoration and to bring his love to earth, they were compelled to do it by the response that we each gave them? Want me to say that? Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, if God and Jesus were affected by the way that, by the love that they wanted to give us, by the response that we gave us, none of us really, and not only here, but around the world, people would not be born again. And it shows one thing, is that God saw something. You see, the access that we have is into the kingdom of God. It's the city of God. It's the kingdom of God's reign that he wants us to plug into. He wants us to see. All the times that Jesus went up to the mountain to pray and to get away from everything else, to spend time in that communion with his Father. And it wasn't just because his hands were folded a certain way, or he was on his knees and he had calluses on his knees, or there was a certain rock that he went to that was all worn down because he prayed there so much. Jesus just got away with his Father. And he tapped in through the Holy Spirit to see things in the Spirit, to see things, how his dad was doing things. Not that he forgot, but he just needed to see how his Father was doing things, so that, because he knew there was a difference between his natural flesh, how he was going to react, and how he needed to react, not just for the sake of Jesus being pure and wonderful and wholesome without any sin, but that you and I might have an example to follow. And isn't it a hard one to follow? For God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved. Agape, God so loved. You know, one day, it says that those three things are so vital, and it says that love never fails. One day, when we get to heaven, it says that God created things by faith. And he did things, and there was the hope of a plan that he had, that he was looking at, and it was all fueled by his love. But one day, friends, when we get to heaven, I'll close with this. One day, when we get to heaven, when I get to heaven, I am not going to have to use my faith anymore. I'm using my faith right now to believe that God is doing what he said he was doing, that he's preparing a place for me. He's preparing a place for my loved ones. He's preparing a place for all people of all different walks of life, red, yellow, black, and blue, whatever nation they came from, because we've been made in God's image. One day, we're all going to be there, and I'm not going to have or use my faith because it's already, I'm going to see it. We're going to see it, so we're not going to have faith anymore. One day when I get there and you get there, we're not going to have hope. Really, are we? This morning, I was hoping that there would be a good turnout. Tonight, I was hoping that there would be people that would come because of the games that are on and whatever else. And I don't have to hope anymore because this is tonight and you are here. And so am I. So I don't need hope. You don't need hope because you're here. I don't need hope because you're here. When we get to heaven, we're not going to need hope because we're going to be there. But there's one thing that will never change and never cease. It's the greatest of all those things. God said, it says of God, God is love. It drives, it's the driving force, it's the driving power of the Holy Spirit. It's the thing that causes things to go throughout eternity. And one day we'll experience the love of God, not thinking about it, not just reading about it, but to experience Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit face to face. And we'll experience something, and I'll use that book again, there, you know, the near-death experiences, and I've read other books about that as well. If there's one thing that is a constant with all of those people that go to the next realm beyond, is that they sense love, and they sense the lover, God. Even if they don't know him, they get to know him. They get to see him. God, love. Isn't that wonderful? That should give us peace in our hearts tonight. So my challenge for each of us, my challenge for myself even for this sermon message tonight, you know, in the Holy Spirit, putting all of this thing together and putting time into it, is the fact that our response to the way the world is going should not be one with just emotion. It shouldn't be just a natural response, because that is not going to give people the notion or the ability to see the Christ in us. When we love one another with the love that Christ loved us with, they're going to see that in us. They're going to wonder, and they're going to take a look at what a peculiar people this is. And if they experience it, and how they're going to experience it is, when they do something, sometimes it may not always be this way, but if they do something nasty, or if they just sort of do something to keep on prodding you, have you ever had neighbors that way? They just sort of prod to try to get you to react. And if you react, then you say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. Idiot, why'd you do that? They're just waiting sometimes. But really, they're waiting, and they'll see the right response if we do it the way God says to do it. Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope your team wins tonight, tomorrow, whenever it is. Is it tonight? There's a game on tonight, yeah. And can we just have one more song? And then we'll give it a close, eh? Does anyone needs prayer tonight? If you want to come up to the altar tonight, and we'll spend some time with you.